Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Psalm 138, and we've already read the passage this morning, so I'm going to dive right in, and in just a moment we'll take the Lord's Supper here, and I'm excited to do that this morning as we begin a new month. Last month in October, you remember, unless you've already forgotten, we talked about what? Harvest. That's right. We did it a lot. We talked about harvest a whole lot. And this month, I'm going to be just as redundant, I'm afraid, but on a good note, Thanksgiving. Are you looking forward to Thanksgiving dinner? We all have our traditions and things that we do on Thanksgiving Day, and I can't wait. I'm excited about that. One neat thing about living in a different state than your family is you get to have Thanksgiving here and then go to your family in another state and have Thanksgiving again. So that is wonderful. I'm excited about that. But it's a wonderful time around the church. We looked at harvest in October. In November, we're going to get to look at Thanksgiving. And then in December, does everybody know what's in December? Do you still remember? Christmas. That's the reaction we were looking for right there. That's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I'll tell you, we've got some special Sunday nights lined up in December. So you want to make sure and get yourself here on Sunday nights in December. The first Sunday night in December is our Hanging of the Greens service, and that's a wonderful time. We will decorate the church as part of the service that night, and that's going to be great. The second Sunday night in December, if you know, depending on how things go with people's plans and all, Brother George Rye has lined up to preach a Christmas sermon for us on the second Sunday night. The third Sunday night, Brother Homer Dotson's going to preach a Christmas sermon for us, and he's already told me he's going to preach on What Child Is This? So he was ready when I called and asked him. And then the fourth Sunday night in December will be the Christmas program. So those are going to, the Sunday nights in December are going to be a lot of fun, and I hope you'll join us for those. We're very excited about those. All right. Thanksgiving. I want to talk to you today about a thankful heart as we begin the month of November. Those of you who are on the internet and you look at other people's posts on the different sites and all, in the month of November, what do you do? Does everybody know what you're supposed to do in the month of November? I don't ever do this, but people do this. Anybody know? Yeah, you post something you're thankful for every day. November the 1st, I'm thankful for this. November the 2nd, I'm thankful for this. And I'm just too lazy to get on there and do that. But that is a good idea, to be thankful for something every day all throughout the month. I mean, we should be thankful for something every day, but it's wonderful in the month of November to think about Thanksgiving. And that's kind of where I want to direct our thoughts this morning as we talk about a thankful heart. We see David here in Psalm 138 as we've read this today. He had a thankful heart. It has been said paganism has its prayers, but no praise. There's plenty of teaching, but no thanksgiving. Sometimes unthinking Christians express no thanksgiving. But praising, just like our praying, should be our habit. It should be done continually, not casually. David, who had a thankful heart, begins the writing here with, "I will praise thee with my whole heart." Then he goes on to say, "Before the gods will I sing praise to you." How does David have a thankful heart? That's what we want to look at here, is David gives us some reasons in Psalm 138. And to say, with David's reasons, we can have a thankful heart because. The first one I want to point out to you here this morning, from David's example, we see in verse number 2. We can have a thankful heart because God has magnified His Word. Notice verse number 2. "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy Word above thy name." We can have a thankful heart because God has magnified His Word. Have you ever heard the saying, "A man is only as good as his word"? We've heard this, right? Obviously, that plays true with God. God is as good as His Word. But if you switch this around, you can grasp what David is really saying here. It's as if David is saying God's Word is as good as He is. No man has seen God. We've not seen God. We have a relationship with God through prayer. But really, if we want to see God, if we want to sense God, if we want to be with God, we have to trust in His Word. So to be able to say here this morning that God's Word is as good as He is can bring us to a place of a thankful heart. Williams writes of it this way. He says, "God's present revelation surpasses that which we have known of Him in the past, and therefore that which we have associated with His name." David is saying, "I have a thankful heart because you have outdone yourself with your word." Now think of where David is in the history of mankind at this point. Does David have a black leather-bound Bible that he got from Lifeway? Of course not. David only has a minimal amount of God's Word, and David has a thankful heart because of that. You and I hold in our hands what has come to be known as the completed canon of God's Word. Would you agree with me today, from our point of view, that God has outdone Himself with His Word? It never fails. God's Word never fails. It's wonderful. We could say this morning that God's Word is as good as He is. If David can have a thankful heart with the limited amount of God's Word that he held, surely we can as well. Next, in verse number 3, we see David has a thankful heart because God has answered his prayers. Notice verse 3. In the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. There is nothing which will expand our understanding of God and give us spiritual vitality like an answered prayer. Have you ever had an answered prayer? We all have had answered prayers, whether we realize it or not. But I mean, you've ever just had one that God just really, really, really answered? You called on God, and it was obvious that God answered, and you were just so ecstatic with the results that you just couldn't keep quiet about it. We have a thankful heart in those kind of situations, don't we? We can fully trust God when He presents Himself and responds to our communion. Why then, knowing that God does answer our prayers, why do we say that we wouldn't experience more answers than we do? The answer to that is simple, because we don't pray. James said in chapter 4, verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not. Why? Because you ask not. That's exactly right. Jim Cimbala is a pastor of one of the most successful American churches in one of the least likely places in America. I'm in the least likely place, I think, Kingston Springs. But he's in a place almost like this. But he has a very successful church. And he said something like this about prayer in regards to the church. He says, your church doesn't need a new vision or a new program. You need to pray. Isn't that something? I'm so happy to go to a church where we almost bathe ourselves in prayer. You think about how many times in just a Sunday service. This isn't prayer meeting night. How many times on a Sunday service do we pray? It's a lot. And we mean every one of those. We really pray. And we pray hard. We pray fervently. We pray with purpose. Many times our prayers aren't answered because we never lift them up. We may think some things. We never bow a knee or bow our head and actually speak a prayer to God. If we will pray, God will answer our prayers. When we see God respond like David, then we can have a thankful heart. Recently, I prayed about something that I really wanted. But my prayer was not, gimme, 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 gimme. You know, being the mature Christian that I am. My heart was really that way, because I really wanted this. But my prayer to God was, Thy will be done. Well, that's how we pray. Or this is what I'm after, but I don't really want it if it's not your will, but I really want it. That was in parentheses in my prayer, right, when I lifted that up to God. But Lord, if it's not your will, that's not what I want. And I didn't get it. And I was disappointed. But you know, in spite of my disappointment, I still had a thankful heart. Do you know why I had a thankful heart? God obviously took that thing away. I wanted it, and it was there, and I could have it. I just had to go get it. But I was waiting, being patient, and I said, Lord, I want your will to be done. And it got taken away. I can't have it now. It's impossible for me to have this thing. He took it away. Now, that disappointed me, but I had a thankful heart because what did I pray to God? Your will be done. Show me. Did you pray that? Show me? Well, He showed me. You know what that does for me as a believer? It says there is a God in heaven. There is someone listening. We do have a personal Savior who cares and listens. Now, all my prayers aren't that way. All my prayers aren't that obvious. Sometimes I get a yes answer. Sometimes I make my own yes answer. Okay, Lord, this is what I want to do. And then I go get it and say, okay, Lord, I did it. I hope that was your will. But many times I just don't pray at all. If we will pray, God will answer our prayers. Many times, though, in our praying, God has to keep us from ourselves. Thus we get a no or a wait as our answer. Do you know that no is still an answer, though? We're not saying we can have a thankful heart because God says yes to everything we want. We're saying we can have a thankful heart because God answers our prayers. No is still an answer. We must be careful to not just be thankful when He says yes. And then finally, we see in verse 7 and verse number 8, we can have a thankful heart Because God works in our lives. Notice verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. David writes here and says, I will have a thankful heart, or I can have a thankful heart, because he has revived me. Because he works in my life. And first we see that is because he said he makes us alive. Turn with me. Hold your spot here in 138. Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1 of Ephesians 2 and read down through verse number 5. Now we pointed out verse 8, 9, and 10 a couple weeks ago, and those are wonderful verses. But really you can't get to the meat of 8, 9, and 10 until you get verse 1 through 5. And that's what I want to share with you here this morning. Is we're thinking about God works in our lives. And you hath he quickened. What does that mean, quickened? Made alive. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you believe you're a sinner? If you believe God's word, you're bound to have to agree or believe or accept the fact that we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says very plainly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also continues to say that we are dead, spiritually dead, in our trespasses and in our sins. Because we're sinners, we're dead. So a dead person needs to be made alive, spiritually speaking here. That's exactly what we see here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you have he made alive who were dead. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Do you remember who you were before you were saved? You walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. No matter how much good you tried to do before Jesus saved your soul, you couldn't help yourself but do bad. Why? The end of verse number 3 there, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It was in your nature to do wrong. Some trying to act saved, some trying to put on the front of a believer, will try very hard to do a lot of good. But you realize down inside yourself there's something that won't allow you to always do good. You still have the nature to do that which is bad. Verse number 4, but God. Isn't it wonderful when God intervenes? When God calls an intermission, when God breaks up the path that we're on, but God who is rich in mercy. Of all the things that I'm aware that God is rich in, I'm especially thankful that God is rich in mercy. I need a merciful Savior. I need mercy in my life. I fail Him a lot. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And the parenthetical statement that we have there at the end of verse number 5 leads us on to verse number 8 where we read, for by grace are you saved through faith. And we love that verse, but you have to fully grasp verse 1 through 5 to understand what is being said there. You and I were dead. God has made us alive. We also see here from David, and you can go back to Psalm 138, as God works in our lives, not only has He made us alive, He protects us from our enemies. Now that was much more relevant in David's day than it was for you and I. David, especially as a king, his enemies were always after his kingdom, but they were also after the king. You didn't always just get away as the king. David talks at one point about how he said, Lord, they desire to have me to break out my teeth. Do you remember reading that? David says that. What's the big deal there? I mean, there are worse things they could do to you, right? But not in David's day. To take a king and to break out his teeth. We think of a king now, we say break out his teeth. We're thinking on the appearance end of things. You know, well, it's going to be hard for him to be a king if they get his teeth broke out. Why is that so important in David's day? He wouldn't be able to eat. Wouldn't be able to, I mean, they didn't have blenders. You know, I mean, that was a big deal to break out the man's teeth. In other words, they were sentencing him to a life of starving himself to death. living a life of being malnourished and ending that way. For God to protect David from the hand of his enemies was a big deal then. It's not so much for us now, unless you've got lots of enemies. If you do, I mean, you just keep that to yourself. I don't want to get on your side if you've got a lot of enemies about it, right? Aren't I a nice friend? You go to your enemies on your own, though. As a pastor, I'll say, you go to God for that one. You and God take care of your enemy. But I mean, for the most part, we live in a pretty safe world, a pretty safe community. We're not fighting a lot of enemies. But it is nice to know that God does protect us from our enemies, particularly our one enemy. Who is our one enemy? Wait, I'm not going to ask that question. Some of you were about to call out some names, weren't you? Satan. That's where I was going with that. God protects us from him. And then David says here, he perfects us. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Perfects. He completes his work in us. Paul says it like this when writing to the Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day that you go home, or the day that he comes and takes you home, God is going to perform the work in you that he has begun at the time of your conversion. Really, he began it at the cross. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He perfects us. David had a thankful heart because of God's work in his life. David had a thankful heart because God magnified his word. And David had a thankful heart because God answered his prayers. Do you have a thankful heart? Dr. J. Vernon McGee asked this of people like us. Do we worship him with our whole heart? He writes that one of the things which impressed him about a particular colleague was what he said when he went to God to repent of the coldness, the indifference, and the sin in his life. He said, then I went back to God and repented of my repentance. That's a thought, isn't it? His first confession was merely lip service, and he repented of that. In McGee's words, some of us ought to go to God in prayer on Monday morning and ask him to forgive us for going to church on Sunday. We should pray, Lord, forgive me for going to church yesterday. I sang the hymns, but my heart wasn't in it. I prayed, but it was a mere formality. I listened to the Word of God, but it had no effect on me. I criticized others who were there, but I did not criticize myself. God, forgive me for going to church like that. I would ask again after hearing that, do you worship him with your whole heart? Christian, here today, you can have a thankful heart because God magnifies His Word. God answers our prayers. God revives us. Another preacher says it this way, praise the Lord for His revelation, verse number 2. Praise the Lord for His response in verse number 3. Praise the Lord for His reviving in verse number 7. Praise the Lord for His redemption in verse number 8. Or to put it much more simply, we can have a thankful heart because God is God. He keeps His covenant. His word is magnified as he answers our prayers. But maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. Maybe you're here today and your life is shattered by sin. Have you made such a mess with your life that you sometimes wonder, what's the use? The Lord loves you. Give him your broken heart and let him give you a thankful heart.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.